Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm using a different app today, so that's kind of a bit risky, but it seems to be a bit more stable. But there is a problem, and that is that it takes longer to get to the beginning of the sermon after the first service. So that's what I'm doing, in case you wonder. Yeah, got there. It's a bit very nervous and nerving, you know. If I tap the screen twice, everything goes, which is not really helpful. Anyway, Brian Hathaway thinks of the church as a party. He says, a party is an event that provides social and emotional enrichment, and you cannot party by yourself, unless you're feeling miserable and you've got a bunch of chocolates and whatever else that's your favourite shot, and then you can perhaps party by yourself. But generally, that's not even that inspirational either, is it? He says that there are five important one another statements that make for a great party. And you remember over the last 3 weeks I picked up, one of the things we picked up is about the one another statements in the New Testament. And last week we particularly looked at some one another statements. And we're now going to look at five. And they are: honour one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, accept one another, and love one another. And of course, we could do a whole sermon on each one of those, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm just going to do all five. So the first of these is honour one another. Honour one another above yourselves, Paul wrote to the Romans. You see, we struggle with honouring people. We honour fame, money, position, power, film, sports stars, and so on. But, you know, there are many people, and my hunch is that in this congregation, there are probably many of you like this, who have grown up without honour or respect, and probably not even too sure of your real value. We actually have an issue, and you may remember some time back I did a whole series on a culture of honour, because it is something, in my view, that is really, really important for us to grasp and embrace. Honour has to do with recognising the value of someone and seeing them as companions and not competitors. We can honour in two ways. Firstly, when we praise or compliment and acknowledge them. And secondly, by our attitude, respect and appreciation. We honour people when we encourage them in the good things they do. This means allowing people to use their skills and abilities and gifts. The Bible urges us to humbly consider others better than yourselves in Philippians 2, and to honour one another above yourselves in Romans 12. Now, what a great party we would have if we honoured each other. What a difference it would make to marriages, to families, and our committees, between local churches, between national and cultural groups. How different our attitudes would be if we allowed the ministry of the Spirit to challenge us and to change us in this way. And this is the passion of Jesus for our relationships. Remember, right in the very first of the series, I talked about John 17, the chapter of John's Gospel that the church loves to ignore, because it's too confrontational. Because it's better to have organisations and institutions rather than doing what God says he wants us to do. And the guts of all that he is praying for is that there will be this incredible unity between us, and out of that unity, which reflective of the Godhead, would be transformational, not only in our life but in the life of everybody we meet. And it seems to me that the church loves to ignore that. And so I'm trying to address that. For me, it is a foundational series, which is why I preach it in 2010. And as I wrap up here, I want to preach it again, because it is the key thing, in my view, we need to embrace. And it begins with honour. Next, that we forgive one another. Forgive one another just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, like it or not, you're going to get hurt. either intentionally or unintentionally. And this hurt can become a cancer that threatens to destroy relationships, indeed has done in many occasions. Brian Hathaway says, over the years, I've decided that I am not responsible for what others do to me or say to me. I mean, how can you be? He says, I am responsible for how I react to what they say or do. You see, no one makes you angry. Anger is your choice at what has happened. It's interesting, isn't it? How many times you have made me angry? No, you've chosen to be angry at the circumstance that has driven this. Their action, he says, is their responsibility. My reaction is my responsibility. It is possible for my reaction to another person's action be just as bad. Listen to these life-changing words of Jesus from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Stephen, as he was about to be stoned, Lord, do not hold the sin against them. And the intriguing thing about forgiveness, it permits the perpetrators of their death to change. Remember Saul, who witnessed and stood guard over the clothes of those who were stoning Stephen. And he became, in time, Paul, the great apostle. Forgiveness means I release the other person from my personal judgments of their motives and actions. It does not mean that I condone the action. Do you struggle with unforgiveness? Unforgiveness breeds bitterness, anger, and resentment. These are enormously destructive emotions. We're to give because God has forgiven us. Our sin is an affront to His holiness, but God's grace forgives it. Forgives. It takes humility on our part to forgive and to seek forgiveness when we have made a mistake, criticized, or acted unkindly or thoughtlessly. Forgiveness is like a relationship cleanser. It deals with the grime and the rubbish that accumulates. So let us then forgive one another. Encourage one another. Paul says to the Thessalonians, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. To honour and to encourage are similar, and both are essential in healthy relationships. Honour is given for what has been done in the past, while encouragement is given for what is being done in the present. To honour is a public activity. Encouragement is done one-to-one. Honour comes after an accomplishment. Encouragement is necessary to keep us going. You know, it's true, isn't it? Honour is for what has been done. Encouragement is for what is being done. Honour is for who we are. Encouragement is for what we are becoming. See what's important? See what we miss out gifting to people or being gifted to us when we leave these things out. Encouragement reinforces our community life. It builds up people in their faith. It strengthens us to live as followers of Jesus. It brings refreshment and unity. So here's something to try. Look for the things that God is doing in your life, in your family, in our church. God is always doing something, and be grateful. If things are difficult, choose to be part of the answer, not part of the problem. Ask, what can I do to help and encourage others in this situation? You believe God answers prayer, right? Then pray. You can't grumble and pray at the same time. You can try. I've discovered that grumbling prayers God seems to not listen to. I've tried it a few times and it doesn't work. So take my advice, don't try it, because there are better things to do. He's just as likely to drop a mirror down in front of you and say, all right, what are you going to do with this one? And listen carefully to people. When someone takes an interest in me and really listens, It's encouraging. It's true, isn't it? Don't you feel like the world has suddenly taken on a different colour? Somebody was talking to somebody some while ago, and I'd sort of put some skills in his plate, and he went home and he tried them, he said. And then he checked with his wife to see how he did, and she said, "Well, I actually felt like you listened to me for the first time." It kind of changes things, doesn't it? It gives the feeling of worth and belonging. There's a story told of a man trapped in the underside or on the hull of an upturned fishing boat. And for many hours he just wrapped the boat. And he said, "I was overcome with relief when he heard his rescuers tapping back." We can only imagine, can't we? "At last," he said, "people knew where I was." That's what good listening does. It means people know where I am. Now, there are three levels of encouragement. Thanks for what someone has done. Praise for how they have done it. And honour for who they are. Let us encourage one another. No one can ever get too much. And accept one another. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you. Romans 15. Why is it that we call other people names? Like nerds, weirdos, fundamentalists, or whatever it is you're tempted to say to your noisy neighbour. We can be very good at dreaming up names. Why is this? Because they're different. It can be difficult to accept those who are not like us. We are much happier being with people who think and act and speak as we do. For healthy relationships, we need liberal doses of acceptance. Sometimes we want to play God and delight in telling people that they are wrong. However, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to convict people of sin. We're all learning and we all make mistakes. We're all maturing in God. If we're going to be successful in our relationships, we need to learn to live within other people's weaknesses. After all, they have to live with ours. God is a God of variety. Don't you love it? This time of the year, you see that majestically. And as you're going through the swamp, I just love the fresh green. And now by the end of the autumn, it's going to be a harsher green. And the colour's out at the moment, and you think, "Oh, I hope it's not going to be windy and blow it all away." Because there's something special, and it stirs us, doesn't it? It gives us a life and a vitality and a freshman. And you think, well, God's just awesome, the way he's thrown this all together, and he does it. He delights to put us, this is God, with the most unlikely people, all of which he knows about. Often we cannot choose the people we work with or go to church with or make up our in-laws or our siblings. The church has been likened to a body made up of different parts with different functions. 1 Corinthians 12. There's also like an orchestra with many different kinds of instruments, all making a valuable contribution to the total sound produced. And you might say to me, "But hang on, if you have an instrument with a discord, it actually can sound really quite grating." But I guess we all who have played instruments took our time to learn. I still feel for my parents as I started to learn the guitar. I was 11. So anyway, let us then accept one another. And lastly, love one another. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. John 13. There is no doubt that this commandment, repeated 16 times in the New Testament, embraces all others. Love is central to the character of God. God is love. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. Love is at the heart of the first two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and to love your neighbour as yourself. Three times in the New Testament we read that the whole law is summed up in these two commands, Matthew 22, Romans 13 and Galatians 5. Keep these things and you will keep the whole law, we're told. Three things endure: love, hope, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It often puzzles me that the great dilemma that the church has had and society has had over love, as cold as charity. Well, I don't think it was charity at all. It was actually a whole lot of other things, but there wasn't a great deal of love to it. A lot of legalism tied up in it, a lot of abuse. That's not what God was talking about. You see, love equals care that flows from the heart. It can be described as wanting the highest good for another. However, there is another type of love, a because of love. I will love you because you agree with me. I will love you because you are good enough. I will love you because there is something in it for me. This is insincere. We are told that love must be sincere, Romans 12. The New Testament type of love is in spite of love. I will love you in spite of what you are or what you have done. It is a love that lays down its lives. And we are told to provoke each other to love. Hebrews 10. The word provoke literally means to excite, stimulate, inspire, and have other words down there. Arouse, stir, galvanize. A whole heap of them there. Love is one of the qualities that are to both show, we are to both show to one another and to inspire in one another. So wouldn't we have a really great party? Can you see that? If we deliberately set out to honour one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, accept one another and love one another, it would transform the whole of our lives. And I have a hunch that we probably wouldn't need to evangelise, because our relationships would do it for us. And the funny thing is, that's exactly what Jesus wanted. Didn't he pray something like this? Father, make them one. Make them so much a part of each other that when one hurts, they all feel the pain. Make them inseparable, as loyal to each other as you and I are loyal to one another. May their commitment to each other be so real and visible that there is no doubt that their love is not of an earthly kind. Make them the very reflection of the kind of unity and glory we have together in heaven. Then the world will know for sure that I was sent from you. You'll find something like that in John 17, 11 through to 21. That's my goal. That's what I want to see. That's what we work for. Because that's God's dream. That's God's will for us. Lord God, we thank you that you want our lives to be a celebration of just so much. You want us to be a people who honour one another, forgive one another, encourage one another, accept one another, and love one another. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move upon us and all who comprise the life of this church, that those qualities would become so deeply inherent in us that people would say, what is it that they've got that's so different? And come looking for it and find you. Have to discover that you really are the way, the truth, and the life. The way to come to the Father, to come to hope, to come to future, to come to security, to come to transformation. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.